wonderful morning. Everybody say, the wonder of belonging to Father God. Would you say that? The wonder of belonging to Father God. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, you were conceived in the heart of Father God. It's kind of interesting, more or less a Roman viewpoint where we start, and we've heard this, you start as sinners. Well, when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal didn't start off in the pig pen. He started off in the Father's house. And you and I have been conceived in the heart of a Father God, and He loves us. That verse that says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Everybody say that with me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I'm on a journey myself. And so we're going to look a little bit about how Jesus has come to display the Father's heart. I want to springboard off of Acts 4:13. I think this is kind of cool because Peter and John, it says, what happened is there was a miracle and they were preaching the gospel and stuff. And it says, when they saw, these are the Pharisees, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astounded and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, the more I travel along this, the more I realize, because we're going to look at this today, that the Lord comes where you are, and you're not trained, and, there's people that have master's degrees and scholarly stuff, but I want to tell you, real authority doesn't come from degrees. Real authority comes from intimacy with God. The people who spend time in His presence, getting to know His heart, those are the people who can cast out the works of darkness. Those are the people who can bring the healing touch of Jesus because they know His care for people and they become a conduit for that. Paul said something really interesting. I think we can all jump in this one. Next slide. It says 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. This is one of those just anchor type verses for all of us. It says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose, and I just really resonate with this, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. It's not on the basis of what we can bring into it. You know what? The further I go down the road with the Lord, the more I realize I just bring a dependency. I just bring a sense of neediness. I need to be loved by you. I need your love. And so I'm going to take a little moment and look at this heart that the Lord Jesus exemplifies. I'm not going to read this whole thing. I just want to just say, remember, everybody remembers the guy that was sick for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. And he's being led, Jesus is being led by the Father. And he goes to him, and he ends up picking up 38 years, not being able to walk for 38 years. And instantly standing up, taking his mat and walking out of there. That's amazing. And so Jesus, at the end of that, he says, my Father is working until now, and I am working. In other words, that miracle was the Father work. And what I've noticed more and more about my particular calling, and I think the more you season and mature in the Lord, the more you'll see this, that you're not really initiating anything. You're just showing up, affirming what He's already doing. That the Lord is already working in people. He's already doing that. And He might bring a person like your witness into their area so that there's something that you can deposit in them. But that's, you're not starting it. God's already been working. Isn't that true? And so Jesus says, this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Him, because not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His Father, making Himself equal with God. A 30-year-old, a 31-year-old, standing there saying, the Father's working and I'm working. He's seeing all these miracles, all these teachings that are going forth, all this impact through His life. And He says this, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord. The more you and I link up with that heart, the more you and I realize it's the Father in our life, it's the Lord in our life, it's the Holy Spirit in our life, but only what He sees. And you know, here's what happened. This is the coolest thing. Okay, what happened when Jesus turned 30? You know, how it works is there's that whole little bar mitzvah thing when you're 13, and then in the Jewish culture, you start actually learning the heart of the Father in their culture. And then when you turn 30, you take on the Father's business. And there's two things that occur, and they're occurred in Jesus. You take the spirit of the business, you get the spirit of the business from the values of your Father, and you get the affirming words of the Father. And when Jesus went to be baptized by John, the Spirit, this is the voice came out of heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now you and I, the same idea or the same thoughts come to us, that the Lord is very well pleased, not on the basis of heaven. Jesus hadn't done anything yet. So Father God is an affirming Father. He tells you how wonderful you are before you have done anything. He's so pleased with you. And the second thing was that the Holy Spirit came and empowered Jesus. Jesus let go of the privilege of actually being God and doing things out of that realm. And as a man, completely humbled and submitting to He was moved upon by the Holy Spirit and did everything. So, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He has anointed me, and it's the Spirit of the Lord doing all this as He yielded to it. So He says, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Could you imagine if we, you and me, caught the Father's heart of love, and we only did that? Do you realize how less stress you would have in your life? See, the orphan mentality is always, I have to work for approval. That is not kingdom sonship. Kingdom sonship, and by the way, son is, you know, same as a daughter, it's just a term. But it's like, you're already approved of. You don't have to go work for it. He's already given it. It's already done. And that is like hard to learn, isn't it? Because you don't like you. I didn't like me. We're not like totally into, we need a lot of help. How many of you? You need more help than everybody else, according to your assessment. Is it right? I think you guys got it off easy. I was praying with somebody the other day, and they were, oh my God. They were really wrestling with, and they were getting freed and stuff. But I just remember what that felt like when those deep roots of bitterness were coming out of me. And I went, oh, Lord, you just love to help people get rid of all the stuff that binds up their souls, holds them to the past, all the abuses and hurts, sustain, all those things. You love doing this. And I was just sitting there going, You're so good. I remember when that was coming out of me. I know what that feels like. Isn't he good? The Lord's so gracious. He says, whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son. And I want to tell you this right here. This particular Father loves the Son. This particular word loves. We've been off a little bit as far as agape and phileo. Now, agape, you know, we've said, you know, phileo is the brotherly love, and we kind of push it off to the side. And we say God's love is agape love, and God's, what it means is that His love is going to pour into the depth of your need greater than anything that you could superficially want. An addict wants drugs, but the need that His love is going to meet is, I'm going to give you a love inside that you don't need that. I'm going to meet the deepest need of your soul so that that's removed, okay? And so we think in terms of when Jesus says, the Father loves me, that we're thinking agape. This particular verse, it's affection. It's the word for affection. And Jesus is in John 5:20, for the Father has affection for the Son. Just let that soak in. The Father has affection for the Son. That's the word love there. This tender brotherly affection. Father has affection for the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. So he's doing in likewise what the Father's saying. I remember this one time, and please forgive these extraordinary, crazy stories. I've shared this before, but I was really, really bound. And I had a prophet friend named Donald, and he came. It was about 30 years ago. And he said, I was standing there, and we were praying before a men's group that was coming. And he's a southerner. He goes, he mumbles, and something left me, and I felt dizzy, and I felt like falling to the ground. And I said, what did you do? I cast a spirit out. I said, what was the name of it? He says, insecurity over leadership. You had it all your life. You know what that thing did? It made me second guess everything I did. And when it left, I quit second guessing everything. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. He didn't ask me to if he could cast it out. Hey, can I pray with you? He didn't do anything like that. He just mumbled and the thing jumped. Isn't that wild? That's authority. And I said to the Lord, I want to be able to do that for people. And I was in Hanover. John, you were there. Glenn and also Jeremy, I think. And there was this, remember Larry Titus said, turn and pray with people? And there was this tall, handsome black guy. And the Lord said, cast rejection out of him. And I didn't ask him if he wanted prayer. I just said, Larry Titus said to pray. And I said, it's in the name of Jesus, rejection, leave this man. And the thing came out of him. He looked at me the same way I looked at Donald. He was like, what'd you do? What happened to me? And he couldn't believe it. And he says, I didn't think I had that. And he was all like, flummoxed because, somebody did that, And then the Lord spoke to me and said the reason that he wanted to deal with this is because that particular spirit in his life was keeping him from being married. And then his heart his heart really opened to the Lord. He was like, this is buffeting off relationships, and God has a plan for him. Isn't that wonderful? God has a plan, and it's like, this is in the way we want to remove that. So Jesus is doing what the Father is saying, and people are being helped. And we want to be those people. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. But look, all you have to do is serve and respond in the same way. It's your particular gifting and grace and calling on your life. And here's what we do. We listen to the Father's voice to serve. You hear him, and people, the ministry of the Holy Spirit goes forth, and you do it in the power and the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, being able to give the grace to where he wants to touch people. How many have had, I've noticed this, if I spend more time letting God love on me in the morning, if I don't run past that and I just receive the love, it's easier to respond to his loving encouragements for other people through the day. When you don't spend the time being loved. Now listen, this is really important. Our American mindset, our orphan mindset, whatever it is like we think we have to read it. Now you do read the Bible, you do pray, you do these other spiritual disciplines, but you don't do them for acceptance. You don't earn mercy. You don't earn anything by them. They're an outflow of because love is manifesting to your life. You want to know the one who's leading you, right? Okay. So I wanted to say that. Now, let's go to this next verse here. This particular, where did Jesus come from? And this is the whole thing about the wonder of belonging to Father God. This is really important. So John 1:18, the New King James Version says, no one has seen God at any time. Now that's going to manifest in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, where we're going to see Father God and he's going to come down and be the dad to everybody. But right here it says, the only begotten Son, the one of a kind Son, I love this, who is in the bosom of the Father. Now, the bosom of the Father, he's declared him. Let's go to the next slide. This term, bosom, is kalpos, refers to the front of the body between the arms. Kalpos was used to refer to the fold in a shepherd's robe. That is the hollow formed by the upper forepart of a rather loose garment bound by a girdle or sash. It was used for carrying things, and it is where a shepherd would tuck a hurt or scared lamb that needed a shepherd's care. It is the place closest to the heart, denoting intimacy. Now look, this is where Jesus came from. Ta-da! I feel like a little... Okay. So Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. And this is the point is, this is where he's going to take you and me. He's taking us. That's where we're going. Yeah, just go ahead and say this. Heaven is the Father's heart. Heaven is this relational knowing. Oh, it's a place, but it's more a relationship than a place. So, we have another, what's the next slide here? Okay, we're going to look at what Jesus said in John 14. We're going to look at a couple of things here. My Father's house, this is out of the Passion Translation. So my Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself. Let that go in. The one from the bosom of the Father is going to take you to the bosom of the Father. So that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. Next slide. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you're going. So how could we know the way there? And Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen Him and experienced Him. Now watch this. So Philip spoke up and said, Lord, show us the Father. It's like, bing! He just said that. And it's like, and that will be all that we need. And Jesus replied, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father, for He lives in me and performs His miracles and power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least believe because of the mighty miracles. So here's this next slide. So he's saying, I'm taking you to myself. When you come to me, you come to the Father. Would you just, before we go on, just worship with me just a moment here. I feel like this is inspires awe. Because your heart's craving, the deepest need in your heart, is the unconditional love of Father God. And you were in His eye and His heart way before, and now He's coming to assure you. Let's go ahead and praise Him just a minute. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, just as Emmy prayed a little while ago, I just pray every stress and strain that comes upon your life because you don't have that sense of connection with Daddy God, that this connection with Daddy God would transform your heart and you would begin to live burden-free and live in the fullness of His love for you and know His love and express His love. Now let's look at the last line. So he says, I live as one with my Father, and my Father lives as one with me. Now we total that up in John 17, the next slide. We total that up here. Is anybody getting this? Are you getting this? Okay. Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. Remember when He went and washed the disciples' feet? The opening verse to that says, because He knew where He came from and where He was going. He knew where He came from and where He's going. Therefore, He took a bowl and He washed His disciples' feet. He wasn't trying to get earn their favor or anything. He was saying, this is an example to you. This is how we live. Now, I just want to tell you, you're going to be loved perfectly, and you're going to love perfectly in eternity. And He wants it to start now. But it can't start now if you don't know how much He loves you. And if you don't know how much affection is in His heart for you, then you'll always be running around like an orphan trying to figure it out on your own steam. I have recently just gone through change in this, like the Lord's opened this up to me. And when I minister to people and pray with people, I just kind of step out of the way and I say, Father, pour Your love in. And the Father's love changes everything. People get stressed out, and when Daddy God's love, Abba Father, do you realize we have, the Holy Spirit is named the Spirit of Adoption? And He sets up shop in there and gives you this language, and you start saying, Dada. You start saying, Father God. You start growing in that relationship. So important. Okay. So let's look at this one. Here's kind of sums it up, I guess. John 17, 21 through 23. That they may be one. They are us. Now see, Jesus is praying to the Father. He's praying for us. He's praying for Karen and Andrea and Rosemary. He says, the day may be one, right? He's praying for everybody in the room that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may also be in us. This is extraordinary. Now see, this is, Jesus is in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. What's going on there is he's at the Last Supper. He's having a conversation. Now, if it was us, we would be saying things like, you know, remember, because he's leaving, we would be summarizing what we did. That's our way. We go, remember, Peter, when you walked on the water and you fell in and I had to pull you out? Remember that? Yeah, yeah. Remember raising Lazarus? Wasn't that a kick in the pants? And we got in Lazarus. Remember the blind? Hey, blind Bartimaeus is around here somewhere. He's following us. He's probably right outside. Remember, and just going all the, remember when they broke the fish? No, he didn't talk about any of that. None of that. None of that. His ultimate goal was not to review the miracles. His ultimate goal is the ultimate miracle. You're going to be one with Daddy God. You're going to be one with me and Daddy God. That's all I want to talk about. This is what he's focused on. I think 47 times the word Father is said in these few passages, over and over and over and over. Father's only said, like, I think, less than 18 times in the Old Testament. Right here in these two chapters, Jesus is saying, the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. And because of your bruises from your dad, you don't see. Because of the hurts and the pains and the things spoken in word, curses, generational curses, traumatic life events, all that stuff where hell has sown seeds in to cause you to have a bad, like, you know, I remember that lady that she hated every man, all men, because one man had betrayed her. Well, my goodness, that's blindness, isn't it? One man betrays her, and she hates all men. She can't see the goodness of anybody else because of the hurt of one person. And that's what happens with people looking at Father God. From the hurt of one parent, they have this skewed vision of who Father God is. Wrecks them for the rest of their life. But that's not who he is. He's the one healing you. He's the one reaching to you. He's the one that says, come here, baby. Father God in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, is the one that goes around and wipes all the tears off everybody's eyes. Says, hey, honey, there's no more pain. There's no more crying. There's no more mourning. Jesus took care of death. Death is gone. It's gone. You're not going to have death. This is amazing. Therefore, let me see if I can find this. Oh, we should finish reading that verse. Here you go. So, right here, also made that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. And it says, so that the world may believe. Could you imagine if we had that kind of love, the world would be different. But see, what you have is you have this term Christian that doesn't represent Christ. It doesn't represent the heart of the Lord. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as... Look at this. That love them even as you loved me. Okay, Father, Jesus is wanting you to experience being loved by the same measure of love that Father God loves him, that you would know that. Do you think your life would change? That the same level of love that he loved Jesus with, he'd be loving you? That's the whole point of this verse. That's the point. And we have a tendency to just wipe that off and say, well, he would love Jesus, of course, and then write ourselves out of the story. And he says, no, the whole reason I came is to get you in the bosom of the Father. That's why I came. So, what's the next line? Yeah, there it is. Isn't that something? Our eternal destination is a person. So Jesus comes from within the Father and is taking us unto within the circle of this love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's the next one? I like to jump into this one. This is the one I just chew on. We will be perfectly loved and you will love perfectly. And now let's just think about forever out there for a minute. We cannot comprehend the adventures that lie ahead. For endless ages in a yet untouched universe, what we do know is that there is neither care, nor worry, nor fear, nor even a resemblance of such negatives. Sign me up, I want to go right now. Do we want to represent? So the wonder of being belonging to the Father. Let's just stand together for a minute. I just wanted to just see something that would represent the heart of Father God toward you and me. That where you are hurting, He's never going to not come to your aid. He's always going to be there. Let's lift our heads to the Lord. Father God, we praise you right now. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. And you comfort us in our afflictions so that we can comfort others in their afflictions with the same comfort that you have comforted us. We thank you, Lord, that if you did not spare your own Son, how much more will you not give us all things? And so we want to have stripped away from us every false, idolatrous, unfortunate view of Father God. We want that destroyed. We want that taken from us. We want to wake up with a joy in our souls in the morning, knowing that Daddy God's eye is upon us and cherishes us. Would you praise Him with me now? Just go ahead and praise Him. Praise you, Jesus. There's old woundings that, old bandages that are infected. I guess that's the picture the Lord put in my heart. There's old bandages that cover the hurts of where your earthly father or something did that. This is not bashing earthly people. But, you know, the best earthly father is never going to compare to our heavenly Father at all. Never going to happen. So the beauty of His love being expressed in the person of Jesus and now poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit is the foundation of why Jesus came. It's the reason He came. It's the foundation of the wholeness of your life, that you become more than you what you could be because He loves you and you know He loves you. That's where wholeness comes from. Can we praise Him some more? Just go ahead and just love on Him right here. I just feel like we don't need to run away from the most precious person in the universe, our Father in heaven. And so, Lord, I ask for your healing, your freeing power, your renewing of the spirit of our mind, that we would come to know a deep and abiding love from you in us and walk as we're destined to become those who dwell in the bosom of the Father. We praise you for that, Lord. Amen. Anybody need other prayer? If you want to receive the Lord or have something removed that's in your way, we're down here available to pray. Love on each other. God bless you. Dismissed.